Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. My name is Staff Sergeant Samuel Kroll with the North Dakota National Guard's Public Affairs Office. Today, I have a very special guest, Staff Sergeant Lexi Ashoff with Recruiting and Retention Battalion. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. It's a little outcast outside right now. We've had a nice couple of days of sun, and now we're kind of having to kind of bundle up again for a
little bit. I know, it's sad. I had to put on a winter coat this morning.
Right? The North Dakota weather is always like ups and downs, but I don't know. I kind of sometimes think that it's just a way for us to get just stronger than every other state. We're just a little bit more weathered.
Yeah.
No pun intended on weathered. all right. Well, talk to me about how you got here. How'd you get started in the military? Are you from North Dakota originally? Just give me a backstory about yourself.
Oh, man. I am not from North Dakota. I'm actually from Culbertson, Montana, which is... I'm going to go through it. West 50 miles, of Williston.
Okay.
So I spent a little bit of time in North Dakota, if you count that part of the state.
Sure.
But I started in the National Guard in Montana. Mm. And so I joined when I was a senior in high school. And then I hung out for a while and did a bunch of things and then went on deployment, came home and moved to North Dakota.
Fantastic.
Full time. Yeah.
So what, you were in high school, what MOS did you enlist into?
So I originally came in as a 92 Alpha, which is, Automated Logistical Specialist.
Okay.
So they deal a lot with supply. I mostly hung out with maintenance teams, providing parts and doing a little Marie Kondo with shop supplies and, in like parts areas and and such. So yeah, I got to really double down and learn a lot about mechanics.
Sure.
You know, I can change a tire now, so that's pretty impressive.
Heck yeah. A normal tire, or are we talking like a tire twice your size?
Okay, so I couldn't do it by myself, but I did change a tire on a 30K forklift once.
Wah.
Yeah, no, big things in this career. Yeah.
Heck yeah. So you were in Montana as a 92 Alpha. Now, 92 Alphas, there's not like a specific unit that's 92 Alpha, right? Like a whole. What unit were you attached to?
So I was attached to, I started out with a quartermaster unit.
Okay.
They ended up getting dispersed to like the different units throughout the state. And then I moved to 163rd, which is our infantry unit out of, or battalion out of Montana.
Okay.
And that's who I deployed with.
Sure.
But in between there, I got really bored with supply. And the beauty of National Guard is that if you don't want to do your job anymore, you can go switch and find a new one. So I switched to Forward Observer as a 13 Fox. And when they opened up those jobs to women, and so I was going to school for social work and doing feelings Monday through Friday.
Sure.
And then on the weekend, I was watching things blow up, and it was really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So 13 Fox, Forward Observing. What does that all entail?
It's essentially call for fire.
Okay.
So you find you look at a map and you find a target on the map and you plot in some points into a laser or you call it up and then we call them gun bunnies and they're down there and they throw artillery.
So you're like the ghost sitting on a post that no one knows and just like, you're the most dangerous person with the biggest weapon.
And they have no idea because we're just up there laying around in a hammock. So
That's dangerous.
It is, yeah. Oh, it's so much fun, though. It was a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you were doing 13 Fox stuff with this infantry unit, the 1-6.
The 163rd, yep. So when I came back to the 163rd, I was a 92 Alpha. So when I had done 13 Fox, I had switched to active duty, actually, and did a couple years with active duty and came back because I had kiddos and I was like, being a mom's way cooler than being gone all the time. So
Right on. So you came back as a 92 Alpha.
Yep.
I'm assuming in that time frame or before that time frame when you came back, you said you deployed. Or was it after you came back, you deployed after?
After I came back.
Okay.
Yep.
So then, you come back off of active duty and then you get deployed right away.
Yep.
Wow. That's crazy. What was, we don't have to talk too much about it, but where did you deploy?
So we went to Kuwait, which was for about 12 months.
Okay.
11 to 12 months.
Sure.
And that was a good time. Yeah.
Fantastic.
We got to travel a lot. I got the opportunity to go to Jordan.
Oh, wow.
So I spent about 3 weeks in Amman, Jordan. Yeah, it was way cool. Sweet. Yeah, and so I think that was probably the coolest thing about my deployment is that I just got to experience so many different cultures.
Yeah.
And seeing different things is a very humbling experience. You come back to America and you're like, wow, I really loved my bed. Yeah. I didn't embrace it enough.
Yeah, all the things we take for granted sometimes. And you go over to another country and you travel and you just learn different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you now have this deployment and you're back. What brought you to North Dakota?
I have a lot of family.
Sure.
Kind of in between North Dakota and Montana. And so for me, it was like I want to settle down a little bit, give my kiddos a really good, I don't know, place to live and grow that's family-oriented. Mm-hmm. It might be negative 60 degrees for a couple months in there, but it's worth it.
It's like what we said. They'll get weathered. They'll get stronger. They'll be happy about it.
They'll embrace it if they ever go to the South. They're going to love it so much more and have so much more respect for things. So
I'm assuming when you came to North Dakota, when you were a 92 Alpha, you filled the 92 Alpha slot with a unit here.
So actually, there wasn't any 92 Alpha slots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there were, but being an NCO, they couldn't double slot me.
Sure.
So I filled a 91 Juliet slot.
And what is that?
I have no idea. I never. I was with the 285th.
Okay.
And I kind of hung out with them and just helped their supply sergeant, just because that was kind of my realm.
Okay.
But yeah, and then before I had a chance to go to reclass school for 91 Juliet, which is probably good I didn't go since I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I moved to recruiting and retention.
Wow. So what brought you to wanting to go to recruiting and retention and a recruiter?
I had gotten put on orders to help with a state track event and just getting to run around and talk to these kids and be, I don't even know, just get to be their friend and like some sort of like influence for them was huge for me. And it was only like 3 days that I did that. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this full time. And so I applied.
So now this is where I think you and I first met. This was state track, and it was Sergeant Malk and Sergeant Hickel.
Yes.
Two guys with the biggest biceps, I swear.
It's absolutely insane.
In the National Guard.
Yeah, they're the size of a state. It's crazy.
Montana or North Dakota? That's the
both. Like both combined.
Each arm.
Yeah.
So that was where you first kind of tried it out and wanted to figure it out. And like you said, kind of be that inspiration possibly for any other person wanting to join. Is that something that you've found just a second calling for, is, I don't know, kind of being a mentor for younger kids?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Especially because, I mean, I'm doubling down and getting my degrees and such in social work. So I think that's always been something that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little intimidated to work with kids, which I think is good. You know, it just keeps us on our toes to wanting to be the best examples that we can be. But now getting into it and working with the schools and talking to the kids and getting to learn about like who they are and what they want to do with their future. There's been so many kids I've met with that thought they wanted the National Guard and then it wasn't their path, and still like getting to watch them go off to college. I'm like a sergeant mom. I don't even know. Just everybody's mom now.
And that's if I had to say anything, it's probably one of the most rewarding parts is, you know, in recruiting, it's kind of you're taking in people that want to find a purpose.
Right.
And we hope that the National Guard and the military is their purpose. You know, we want them to be a part of our team.
Absolutely.
But I think a second time, or a lot of people don't realize, and like what you're saying, is you become almost a guidance counselor for them in life in general. That connection you make with them, the relationships you have with just meeting them and figuring out what they want to do, whether it be military or outside, is a huge step up. And I think that's I don't know. What's your take on that?
No, yeah, absolutely. Just getting to be a part of, like, their beginning. Like, they come in and they're like, I don't know what the future holds. And then And then they join and they're a part of the Guard family. And then it becomes very realistic because you can be like, yeah, we're a big family. And they're like, okay, Lexi, whatever you say. And then, you know, we're showing up for their basic training graduations if we can. And or they're coming back and we've got signs at the airport or whatever it is, you know. And then getting to hear, I think, just, you know, little notes every once in a while. Thank you cards that I've gotten about being an inspiration and a role model. And I'm like, wow, really? Me? No, you like me? Like, yeah, like some pageant stuff. But no, it's, I think that that makes the stress of it all absolutely worth it.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah.
What's it like seeing, I mean, we, there's a lot of stigma about when, you know, a soldier goes over to basic training, becoming a, you know, it's the scariest thing they've probably done in their entire life.
Right.
And then they come back a completely different person. What's it like seeing their growth from, you know, hey, I'm wanting to join the Guard. They go to MEPS for the first time. And then a month or 2 months later, they're off and going to learn how to become a warfighter at basic training. What's it like seeing them come back and just the mentality switch and the maturity level?
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy for some of them. They leave, they don't know what to expect. You try and prepare them as much as you can. And when you're just scared, you're scared. I remember being that person. I was like, I've never left home. I don't even know how to mail a letter. And now I just have letters that I can work with. But like watching them come home and just seeing how much they've grown. And but it's not so much like a little bit maturity, sure. But I think it's their confidence.
Yeah.
Where like they went into it and they were like, I can't do it. I can't even do a push-up. And they come back and they're like, hey, Sergeant Ashoff, I maxed my PT test. And I'm like, what were you so worried about? You know, like watching them just be proud of themselves is the biggest thing. Because we're like, I'm proud of you for joining and being a part of a small percent that wants to do this. And here you are. And now you feel that pride in yourself. And so that's huge.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah.
So they're back from basic training and an AIT. Can you kind of give me a rundown story of what it looks like from start to finish? I'm a brand new person, never knew what he was going to do outside of college, or maybe I, you know, your standard high school student that doesn't know what he wants to do out of high school.
Yeah.
What's it like, the process of going to a recruiter and then coming back from basic training? Give me that timeline.
So we start out, I usually meet up, get to know them a little bit, kind of see what their goals are and see what we can do to align it. Then we start the process and we get them qualified medically first, which can take anywhere from 2 weeks minimum to 2 years, depending on just a medical history. And so I always say we can talk about benefits all the time and how they apply to you, but let's make sure that this is something you can do first. So we start with that. We get medically qualified by going to MEPS, which is probably a long day, but very well worth it. And then we come back and we talk about jobs and then really start to dig into that, to like the benefits and what you want to see and what you want to do.
Sure.
We enlist. And I bring confetti poppers sometimes if I remember. My mom brain, sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. And then they come and they hang out with us at drill and we prep them. And I think that honestly, that is the most important part, doing the recruit sustainment program with us. Like we're from start to finish along with you, the whole process. And then we get to talk to you and teach you and train you and make you feel, try and build that self-confidence up before you leave and just really prep you for basic training. And then we see you off and you go to basic training and then you graduate and then you go to your job training and then you graduate from that and then you come home and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, so you said align with your goals, which I think is a big thing the National Guard offers comparatively to, and maybe I'm incorrect on this statement, but comparatively to, say, active.
Yeah.
If you want to stay in state... I mean, you get to choose your job, right? So what are some of the jobs that you can possibly do in the National Guard?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. Yeah, there's so many, especially in North Dakota. We have over, like, 55 entry-level jobs alone that are open throughout the state with different units. And so it's really easy, that flexibility, because really it's not even the if you wanted to drill – Say you were going to college at UND and you wanted to drill up there, I could just tell you the units and the jobs that are available. And so you not only have a choice on a job, but you have a choice on a location as well, just because we have units all over the state.
Wow.
So it makes it really easy for like really any kind of lifestyle, whether you're working oil field on a 2 week, two off,
sure.
two on, two off.
Yep.
Or you're a full-time college student, or maybe you're just, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you, whatever job you choose, I
no,
guess.
No, that's exciting, though. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, the college thing, that's huge. I
yeah,
mean, if you're going to NDSU, UND, find a unit based out of Fargo, Grand mm-hmm. Forks, or even Bismarck, possibly, pending.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that all is kind of subject to availability.
It is.
Certain things, but having that option to choose is huge.
It is. Yeah. No, having that kind of flexibility is big, especially if, you know, you're like, I'm graduating high school and I'm going to college full time. Mm-hmm. I'm taking 600 credits because that's all I want. That's yeah. all I want to do, and I want to finish it. We work with it. But I think, too, comparatively with active duty, kids get so excited because they're like, well, I want to be able to travel and try something new. And I'm like, well, there's a National Guard in every state. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the beauty of it, too. You can graduate and move to Arizona if you'd like and still be in the Guard. You just join Arizona Guard.
Right.
So you still get that opportunity to have, like, choices over what you want to do with your career or where you want to live. Maybe you don't like negative 60 degree weather. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Texas, here I come. You can do that and still have, like, the benefits of active duty in a sense, but yeah. it's under your control rather than somebody else's.
Yeah, the IST opportunity is always something. IST is basically interstate transfer.
Yep.
You can start out here in North Dakota, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to get your college at UND, right, finish that up here, you can always interstate transfer to another state.
And it's such an easy process.
Yeah, you're an example of it. You
yeah.
know, from Montana to North Dakota.
Yeah, and Sergeant Dinius, he is the one that does it, and he's amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he explains it the whole time, and he does all the hard work. He just tells you, okay, where are you going? What's your job? We'll make it happen, you know? And so it was really easy for me. I've been a part of Nevada National Guard
okay.
For like a little bit.
Sure.
I had moved down for family, but Montana National Guard and now North Dakota National Guard, and it's always been an easy process, I guess.
Wow, one big Guard family.
I know.
I love it.
Yeah.
So the alignment process, that kind of went over that. So for a job, you have to qualify for the job, respectfully,
yes.
correct?
Yep.
What is the test slash things that I would have to do as a person wanting to join to get a specific required job?
Sure. So yeah, every job has its own like independent line scores, just like minimum requirements showing that you can learn or be qualified for the basic fundamentals of the job. Mm-hmm. And we do that by the ASVAB.
Okay.
Gosh, that's another acronym that I wouldn't even be able to spit out.
An attribute test, right?
Yeah. Essentially, it's just, finding your strengths,
sure.
Seeing what you'd be best at. But even if you're really great at mechanics and you're like, nope, I still want to do field artillery or mm-hmm. whatnot, you can still have that choice. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of a, this is what you're really good at and this is what you'd probably flourish in. And so it's kind of job placement, but not all at the same
yeah,
time.
It gives you an opportunity range of
yep.
like what you would be the best at, most
yep.
qualified for.
Yep.
So you've done the ASVAB test. Let's say I joined the 957 in town, right?
Sure.
Bridge crew member.
Yeah.
What does that look like, basic training in AIT? Well, you probably don't know the AIT too much, but what is...
I do, actually.
Oh, perfect.
Well, I don't know the training so much.
Sure.
But if you were to be, so we call them 12 Charlies, mm-hmm. Our bridge crew members. And so you would take the ASVAB, you qualify, we put you in that slot. You go to basic training for, I say 10 weeks. It's probably a little less than that, but 10 weeks. And then graduate, and then you go to a four-week training for a bridge crew member, and then come back and hang out with a 957, and in the summer you get to throw on a life jacket, hop on a boat, and build a bridge on the river. Yeah, it's kind of a good deal.
Yeah, we had done there was a massive exercise not too long ago with that.
Yeah.
Watching, it was joint with, you know, not just 957, it was with the MP company and
yeah.
a couple engineers. That was insane to watch. Talk about crazy.
They're just so good.
Well,
and they make it look so flawless. I'm like, you're actually building a bridge on water and you're just like, just another Tuesday.
Oh,
like,
and then you see them take a vehicle that, you know, weighs tons of pounds and you're like,
yeah.
how is this floating? Right
yeah.
now?
You're like, I don't understand.
But that's the coolest part about
I know.
It. So you go to basic training. You come back from AIT. You're graduated. You get assigned to a unit. At that point, what does it look like for a soldier in their career? Like, what, I don't know, what do you see? I mean, you've dealt with more kids that have came, you know, joined, went to training, etc.
Yep.
I'm sure you've kept in touch with some of them.
Yeah.
What are they on to now, and what are some of the things, great things that they get to do?
A couple of them are going to college right away. Some of them are running track for BSC. Others are just going to BSC and moving to a different place around the state. Mm-hmm. They came back and got their drill schedule, and now they hang out with their units once a month. Career progression-wise, a couple are getting promoted, which is really exciting. Yeah. I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, they do a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to bring it back to the holistic approach of being kind of a warfighting family, a guard family.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you know, you're starting off scared, you kind of lose that confidence, etc., and then you've got that confidence, and then now you're doing all the things that you want to do, and you're almost setting yourself up for a step stone for it. But can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the benefits that the state offers, or not even just the state, but the National Guard offers, maybe specifically here when you do join the Guard?
Yeah, so you qualify. Say you've got someone that scores a 50 or over on their ASVAB and that AFQT score. So we've got 100% tuition assistance for any college in the state. We have what we call the GI Bill. I like to call it the Army Scholarship.
Sure.
And it's really just like, here's some supplemental income to kind of help you. We're paying for your school, so let's also throw this in your bank account to kind of offset. We want you to study is essentially what it is. So don't kill yourself working a part-time job trying to also pay for things. And then that 50 or over on the ASVAB also lands you the kicker.
Mm.
And so that's an additional $350.
Wow.
On top of the GI Bill, just for saying, hey, thanks for doing the thing with college, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and just doing, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I don't know what your experience is, but a lot of soldiers, when they join the National Guard, I mean, college benefits a huge thing.
It is.
And what a lot of people don't realize is you can get paid to go to college.
Yeah.
Like, if you do it the right way, you can get paid while you're going to college.
I go in there and I almost mom these kids. I'm like, I am sure your school counselors are on top of it, because we are super lucky in the Bismarck-Mandan area. And they're like throwing all these scholarships at you that you can apply for to get that money. But I'm like, you can apply for FAFSA and, you know, make some money to kind of help yourself while you're going to school and not have that financial stress.
Sure.
Because not only are you not paying for, so you might not be paying for college tuition, but you still got to put fuel in your car and, you know, go out to eat or meal prep or whatever it is you need to. Maybe you want a gym membership and your college doesn't have like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And so it just like really kind of helps take some of that stress off of, especially when you're 18 and you're like, okay, mom and dad, later.
Right.
And now you're on your own and it really starts to hit you.
Yeah.
So
there's the state benefits.
Yes.
We also qualify for the Army benefits as well.
Yes.
So you kind of get a double dip, right?
It's a beautiful thing about the National Guard too, is that we're state and federal. So we have state-specific benefits, National Guard-specific benefits, and then we also have the federal benefits. So like that federal tuition assistance is also an additional $4,000.
Right.
So there, I mean, really, if you put all the numbers together, you're rolling in the dough going to college. So,
yeah.
And I think too, a lot of people get, worried about, well, what if I don't want to go to college? Those benefits are always going to be there for you. So maybe you change your mind 10 years later and you're like, okay, I'll go get a degree. Or maybe you just want to go to law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll pay for the academy. Really anything that's accredited, post-secondary school, I mean, it's covered. Certifications for trades, maybe you want to be a welder or a electrician. There's ways to really help you boost your future or whatever career path you want to take. You
just gotta go on.
Gotta go get it. Yeah.
So I'm going to bring this back now to kind of you. What was your inspiration for joining the military? I mean, it's different for everyone, right? It's college benefits. It's the call to serve.
Yep.
It's wanting to be a part of a team. It could be family. If you've got a history of military members that are family members that were in the military. What was your calling to join the military?
So I have always just had a calling to help people.
Sure.
I just always wanted to be part of it, whether it was volunteering or, you know, just kind of just giving back to my community and really having that pride to give back to my state and whatever level I could take it, I wanted to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so not only with that, but both of my grandparents, my great grandpa was Army. Mm-hmm. And then both my grandparents were Navy. And then my mom was like, nope, not for me. And I was like, well, it's for me. So I did it. And so that was a big thing, I think. Just being a part of a family is great. You don't realize when you get into it at first. They're like, yeah, we're a guard family, but you don't realize until you're actually in it where you're like, wow, these are people that I call on my worst days and my best days.
Yeah, it's that brotherhood mentality, that whole concept.
Yeah.
So you talk about giving back and wanting to be a part of a community. What's one thing in your career to date that has been the most, I mean, call it inspirational, but sure, most rewarding experience you've had?
In 2017, the summer of 2017, Montana likes to catch on fire in the summers. It's like its thing. I don't know. So we were on the side of a mountain helping guard roads. It's essentially just keeping people from going up towards the fire. It was not controlled or contained at all. And it was very stressful. There's a lot of people whose families' homes were up there, been in their families for generations. They're losing livestock. They're losing just their life and their family history. And so being a part of that was both sad and very rewarding when the families would come and be like, thank you for everything that you're doing for us. And bringing them food and bringing them water and helping them evacuate by packing up belongings. At one point in time, I had a bunch of like these antique gnome things in my hands. Sure. And I was like, these are important to you, so they're important to me. And I'm like walking out with them, you know. And so being a part of that and just really seeing like the impact that we have makes a difference, and especially in some of the saddest times. So
I love that. And one thing that I kind of want to kind of walk back to is exactly what you said. What's important to you is what's important to me.
Yeah.
And that's very much part of our job, right?
Yeah.
Being able to make that connection with the civilian populace or anyone, right?
Yeah.
And show that we care and genuinely care.
Genuinely. Yeah.
And that's first off just an awesome story. And thank you for what you did with that. That's huge. This last little portion of the podcast, what we'll talk about is just kind of going to be open to you. Whatever you got to say, if you want to shout out anyone, you can go for that. But basically anything you want to give to anyone listening, whether they're questioning to join the military, if they're on the fence about it, or if they're maybe even stuck in a spot, they're in the military. What's something you'd like to tell them?
Well, I would say for those thinking about doing it and they just don't know, the best thing you can do for yourself is just ask the question or just ask. You know, ask one of us, whether you're in and it's a friend that's in the National Guard or whatever branch you're looking into, or, you know, just come into the recruiter's office, come talk to me, come talk to some of my coworkers. They're really great. I might be biased, but I like to think that my team has a lot of knowledge, and just ask the question and we can just sit down, talk about you, talk about your future, see how things line up, whether it's an option for you or not. And if you're in already and you feel like you're in a slump, come say hi. Come talk to us too, because sometimes the best thing you can do is just look to your friends and your peers and lean on them and find some hidden motivation or maybe a different avenue for you. But
fantastic.
Yeah.
And you recruit for what school again, or what schools?
Oh my gosh, I'm everywhere. So sure. I like to, my assigned schools are Mandan High School and Bismarck High School, Beulah, Hazen, Center Stanton, University of Mary.
Wow.
Yeah, but we like to run everywhere and just be a part of everything.
Fantastic.
And so I could say that, but I'm also saying hi to the awesome staff at Shiloh and St. Mary's and Legacy. We do what we can.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll sum up this podcast episode. If you're listening online, feel free to give us a like, follow, and if you liked this episode, just let us know when we get some more on with Lexi.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this was a blast. And again, if you're interested in joining the National Guard, feel free to reach out Lexi Ashoff. You can always go to the ND Guard website, ndguard@nd.gov. They can direct you to the Army recruiting site, so that way you can apply there. Again, find them on social media, North Dakota National Guard, Army National Guard. Again, thanks so much for having us on, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah.